Welcome to the Trumpet of Truth, a broadcast ministry of the Waycross Primitive Baptist Church. The Trumpet of Truth radio broadcast can be heard Sunday mornings at 9 and Sunday evenings at 5 on WASW 91.9 FM, American Family Radio. Thank you for making us part of your Lord's Day celebration. Now, with the message, the pastor of the Waycross Primitive Baptist Church, Brother Bill Mullis.
Please turn in your Bibles this morning to the book of Revelation. I'd like to begin with Revelation chapter 1. The book of Revelation is about things which must shortly come to pass. At the time that John wrote them, he was writing about things that were about to happen, and they were going to happen in a very few years. In fact, probably within 5 years from the time that John wrote this, maybe less than that. The book of Revelation is mainly about the destruction of the old Jerusalem and the establishment of the new Jerusalem. The book of Revelation is about Jesus coming and judging the Jewish nation and bringing about great destruction upon Jerusalem, the city of Jerusalem. Jesus had told them earlier in Matthew chapter 24, he had described that Jerusalem that was built, a city built by hand, that city was going to be torn down. There would not be one stone left upon another. And then the new Jerusalem, or kingdom of heaven, would be established. The old Jerusalem would be destroyed before the new Jerusalem would be completely established. So the book of Revelation is talking about the destruction of Jerusalem and about the establishment of the kingdom of heaven. The book of Revelation is talking about the coming of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. One of the main things that we think about when we read the Gospels is about Jesus coming as our Savior, coming as the Lamb of God that took away the sin of the world. That certainly is the primary purpose of Him coming. When He was born of the Virgin Mary, He came and He was born of the Virgin Mary. He lived an absolutely perfect life. Then He died on the cross of Calvary. He shed His blood for our sins. And then He was buried and He rose again the third day. During that ministry that He had here on this earth, several times He said that He was going to come again, and He was going to come again during the lifetime of some of those people that heard Him speaking. He said on one occasion, "There be some of you standing here which shall not taste of death till you see the Son of Man coming in His kingdom." So it's talking about Christ coming as the King and Him coming as the Judge. All of the New Testament preachers, every one of them, preached about the coming of the kingdom of heaven. Beginning with John the Baptist, the Word of God says that John the Baptist began to preach and to say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Brethren, people don't like to hear repent. Repent means to turn away from sin. Most of the New Testament preachers, no, I say all of the New Testament preachers, they were, among other things, warning the people of God about sin in their lives. Jesus did that a great portion of His life. So the book of Revelation is about things which must shortly come to pass at the time John wrote those. Let's look at three or four scriptures just to show what I'm talking about. In Revelation chapter 1, verse 1, Revelation chapter 1 and verse 1, the Word of God says in the very first verse, the beginning of the book of Revelation tells us what it's about. The book of Revelation is not a lot of great, deep, hard to understand mysteries. The book of Revelation is the revelation. Does everybody understand what revelation means? It means to show, to expose, to make known. The revelation of Jesus Christ. It's going to show us about Jesus. Most people today know about Jesus as the Savior, but they do not know about Jesus as the Judge and as the King. And so the book of Revelation is a clearer picture, a revelation of Jesus Christ, not just as our Savior, but as our King and as our Lord, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and as the King of His kingdom and as the Judge who decides who enters the kingdom of heaven and who does not enter the kingdom of heaven. Jesus makes this statement. He says, the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment to the Son. Jesus is the judge. And that's one of the main revelations about Jesus in the book of Revelation. So the book of Revelation is the revelation of Jesus Christ. It's showing us about Jesus. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. Now he's showing things to his servants. Not everybody would see and understand what he was talking about. But he's showing things to his servants, things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bare record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ. That's the phrase we're going to be studying this morning, is the testimony of Jesus Christ. He came to bear record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth and they that hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written therein. For, what's the last phrase in verse 3? For the time is at hand. You remember, he says in verse 1, he's writing about things which must shortly come to pass. In verse 3 he says, for the time is at hand. Go to all the way through the book of Revelation. You have phrases like that that help keep a time reference on what he's talking about. Go to the end of the book of Revelation, Revelation chapter 22. Look at the last chapter from the beginning, from Revelation chapter 1, verse 1, all the way through the book of Revelation. John, by inspiration of God, repeatedly tells the people of God, it's the revelation of Jesus Christ. It's showing Jesus, not just as our Savior, but it's showing him as the King and as the Judge. Revelation chapter 22, listen to verses 6 and 7. Revelation chapter 22, talking about the book of Revelation is something that was shortly going to happen. Revelation 22, verse 6, as he closes the book of Revelation, he says, and he said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. Now, what did he do in the very beginning of the book? He says, I'm showing you things to show to your servants things which must shortly be done. And he closes the book reiterating and reemphasizing, I'm telling you about things which must shortly be done. And verse 7 says, behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. Come down to verse 10. Verse 10 says, and he saith unto me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is what? The time is at hand. Look at verse 12. Verse 12 says, and behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. And then verse 20, he which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so come, Lord Jesus. Do you hear that from Revelation 1 to Revelation 22, all the way through the book of Revelation, God keeps emphasizing this book, these writings, these sayings are about things that were going to happen shortly after John wrote them down. Now, one of the things that is emphasized in the book of Revelation is those that suffered because of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. I want you to know what the testimony of Jesus Christ is. I want you to understand why John the Baptist was killed. I want you to understand why Jesus was killed. I want you to understand why Stephen was killed. It's because them and all the others, they were killed not because they talked about the doctrines of election and predestination and salvation by grace, not just because they talked about Jesus as the Savior. The main reason that people hated John the Baptist and all the apostles and all the disciples of Jesus is because they had the testimony of Jesus Christ. Now we need to look at the Word of God and first see that they did hate them because they had the testimony of Jesus Christ. And then we need to understand what is the testimony of Jesus Christ. Go back now to Revelation chapter 1. We're going to be looking. You notice that he's already stated in verse 2 that he's bearing record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ. Now, Revelation chapter 1, come down to verse 9. John says the whole reason that he was exiled to the Isle of Patmos was because of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. Revelation chapter 1 verse 9. I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. What was it he had done that caused him to be exiled to the Isle of Patmos? Because of preaching the word of God and having the what? The testimony of Jesus Christ. Come down to chapter 6. Revelation chapter 6. Listen carefully, brethren. The events and the things that were happening at this time period of the Jews, those events are happening today. And in the rise and fall of every nation that has ever been, the rise has been because of God's blessings on that nation, and the fall has always been because of that nation turning her back on God. The rise and fall of the Jewish nation, God blessed the Jews beyond measure, and then they turned their backs on God, and they did not believe that Jesus was the Christ, and they did not believe in the kingdom of heaven that was being established, and God destroyed the Jews because of their unbelief. And as they did not believe Jesus, and did not believe Jesus was going to judge them, the wickedness in their lives grew. I want you to listen again to that statement. As they did not see Jesus as judging them here, the wickedness in their lives grew. And if you and I do not see Jesus Christ as more than just our Savior who died for our sins, wickedness will abound in our lives. Wickedness will usually grow. And in a nation, when ungodliness begins to prevail, and those that are following Christ, they are the light of the world, and men love darkness rather than light, and the world, the evil world, will hate those that are lights in the world. The Apostle Paul thanked God for the saints of Thessalonica because he says they shined as lights in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. Do you know why Herod, do you know why Herodias hated John the Baptist? It's because they were wicked, and John the Baptist went to them and told them, it is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. That was the testimony of Jesus Christ. He was warning Herod that God was going to judge him, and Herod had him killed. Was he talking about Jesus as the Savior, or was he talking about Jesus as the judge? He's talking about Jesus as the judge. When Stephen, in Acts chapter 7, Stephen began to preach to those people, was he talking about Jesus as the Savior, or was he talking about Jesus as the judge? He said to those people in Acts 7, he said, ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, as your fathers did resist the Holy Ghost, so do ye. And what did they do when Stephen confronted them and warned them about the sin that was in their lives? They stoned him to death. Do you know why the Pharisees and the scribes and the Sadducees, do you know why they hated Jesus so much? It wasn't because he was there as the Savior. It was because he was saying to them, woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites. And he was talking to them about the ungodliness and the sin in their lives. I'm telling you, brethren, that as wickedness begins to abound more and more in America, the people of God that are willing to stand up and warn people about sin in their lives will become fewer and fewer. And those that will warn people, and that's what the testimony of Jesus Christ is, those that will warn people can save some people from the error of their way. And those that will warn people will also be hated by people because of their warnings. Repent. What's the message of the New Testament? What was the message of Jesus Christ, John the Baptist, the 12 apostles, the 70 disciples, and all of those in the book of Acts? It was, what's the first word of every message? Repent! Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And it's now. The king is here. The judge is here. Now, go with me back to, we're in Revelation chapter 6 now. Revelation chapter 1, who was exiled to the Isle of Patmos? What was his name? John. That's John the Apostle. John the Baptist got killed earlier. John the Apostle. John the Apostle was exiled to the Isle of Patmos because of the Word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. Now, Revelation chapter 6, beginning in verse 9. And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the Word of God and for the testimony which they held. Now, what did John get exiled to the Isle of Patmos for? The Word of God and what? And the testimony of Jesus Christ. These people who had been killed and their souls were under the altar, they were slain for the Word of God and for the testimony which they held. Do you see that? Do you see that people hate people that hold up the Word of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ? Verse 10, these people that had been slain, they cried with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not? What's the next word? Well, what have they been talking about? The Lord is going to judge you for your evil works. And now they've been killed because they had warned people about Jesus coming to judge. And they're now, their souls are under the altar of the Lord. And they're crying out and saying, Lord, how long until you do what? Until you do judge. How long, O Lord, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? And white robes were given unto every one of them. Who is the them referring back to? Those that had the testimony of the Lord, those that had the Word of God, those that had been slain because of that Word of God, and white robes were given to them. And it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season until their fellow servants also. Now, what are their fellow servants doing? They're holding up the Word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. He begins to talk then about the sixth seal, and opening the sixth seal is showing the judgment that came on these people that had been killing these people. I want you to come down in under the sixth seal in Revelation 6, beginning in verse 15. Here's what happens. Now, there's two things that happen when Jesus comes and establishes kingdom in his fullness. Listen carefully. Everybody look and listen. There are two things that happen when Jesus began to establish his kingdom, and when he came as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, he came and he blessed those who had been following him, and he carried out severe judgment on those that had rebelled against him. I want you to remember that, because the whole book of Revelation is showing those two things. It's showing blessings on the obedient, and it's showing the cursings and judgment on the disobedient. Revelation chapter 6, now verse 15, he's talking about the judgment. You've heard the crying of the saints of God in Revelation 6, verses 9 through 11. Now in verse 15, God begins to carry out judgment on the others. And the kings, this is Revelation 6, verse 15, and the kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men and the chief captains and the mighty men and every bondman and every free man hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. Do you hear the wording there? The wrath of the, what's the last word in verse 16? The wrath of the Lamb. Now listen, this is, what's the book of Revelation? It's the revelation of what? It's the revelation of Jesus Christ. And when you hear about the Lamb of God, usually you think about him saving his people from their sins. Now this is showing us a lot more about the Lamb of God. And the Lamb of God now has come to establish his kingdom. And he begins to judge those that are living ungodly. And they begin to cry and say, hide us from the wrath of the Lamb. Do you hear the wording there? Now look at verse 17. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? rather than we need to understand this is talking about God's judgment on the Jewish nation. But you and I also need to understand that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And as our nation, as the Gentiles, have now turned our backs on God, God is going to deal with the Gentiles exactly like he dealt with the Jews. He tells us that repeatedly in Romans 9, 10, and 11. He says, he warns the Gentiles, you better look at how I dealt with the Jews, because I will deal with you in the same way. And America is to the Gentiles what Jerusalem was to the Jews. Jerusalem was the center of religious activity. And America has been lifted up by God, and there has been more religious liberty and more teaching and preaching of the Word of God in America than any nation that's ever been on the face of this earth. And yet we have now turned our backs on God. And the same thing that happened to those Jews. Some people say, well, if it's about the Jews and God's dealing with Jews, yes, it does have relevance to us, because God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And the judge is still on his throne. Now, go to Revelation chapter 12. Look, please, at Revelation chapter 12, beginning with verse 1. This is going to be talking about a great woman. Now, there's a whore in chapter 17. There's another woman in chapter 17. That this is a great and a wonderful woman in Revelation chapter 12. This is a good woman. This woman has reference to the Jewish church and the Christians that were serving God and following God. Revelation 12, verse 1, and there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth, and pained to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon. A what? A dragon. Now, I wonder what the dragon is. Well, all you have to do is keep reading the book of Revelation, and you'll find that the dragon is that old serpent called the devil. So now there's this great, wonderful woman, and then there's a great red dragon. There was a great red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his heads. Come down, for the sake of time, come down to verse 10. Revelation 12, verse 10. By the way, guess what's happening between the dragon and the woman? What's the dragon trying to do to the woman? The dragon is trying to kill the woman. Why is the dragon trying to kill the woman? Because the woman has the testimony of Jesus Christ and the Word of God. So the dragon is trying to kill the woman. And then you come down to Revelation chapter 12, verse 10. Revelation 12, verse 10 says, and I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God. Do you hear what's stated here? Now is come. What's the third thing he says? The kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ, for the accuser of our brethren. Who is the accuser of our brethren? Who is that? That's that great red dragon that he's just been talking about. That's the devil. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night, and they overcame him. That's those faithful saints of God. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. Come down to verse 14. And to the woman were given 2 wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place, where she is nourished for a time and times and half a time. Now, I don't have time to get into all of this, but that's 3.5 years, and that all ties in with Revelation and for a time and times and half a time. And sometime we maybe come back to that, and I'll show you what all that's about. But this woman was carried into the wilderness and was nourished for a time and times and half a time from the face of the serpent. Verse 15 says, and the serpent cast out of his mouth. And he's called the serpent here. What was he called in verse 3? Great red dragon. Verse 15 says, and the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. And the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. And the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Do you see who the dragon is after now? Who is he after? He's after, is it all the children of the woman? There is only a remnant of the seed of the woman who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. So far in the book of Revelation, we've mentioned three different passages that talk about the persecution and the killing of those who have the testimony of Jesus Christ. John, Revelation 1:9. And then we have those saints in, under the altar of God in Revelation 6, verse 9. And then we have here in Revelation chapter 12, we have again the serpent is after those that keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Now, going into Revelation chapter 19, I want you to listen to what the Revelation says is the testimony, the definition. Here's a book. Everybody write this down now. If you want a book that will give you the best definitions for everything in the Bible, and most every Christian bookstore has this book, and I want everybody to be sure you read this book. This is the book and the only book that gives you the proper definitions for everything you need in the Word of God. And it's called the Bible. You want to know what the kingdom of heaven is? You can get on the phone and call 100 preachers and ask them what the kingdom of heaven is, and they'll go here and there, and they'll talk about first one thing and then another. But I'll tell you, the kingdom of heaven or kingdom of God is clearly defined in the Word of God. The kingdom of God, Romans 14:7, the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. That's what the kingdom of God is. That's the definition. And you want to know the definition of the testimony of Jesus Christ? Look at Revelation chapter 19. Revelation chapter 19, beginning with verse 9. And he saith unto me, write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. Now, who is it that's called to the marriage supper of the Lamb? Who is it that gets to sit down at the marriage supper of the Lamb? Who is it that goes in? If you go back to the parable of the 10 virgins, who went in to the marriage? Only the 5 wise virgins. Who went in to the supper? Only those that were faithful and obedient. And he saith unto me, right, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, these are the true sayings of God. And I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said unto me, see thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren that have the what? I have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God. For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Now, what is prophecy? Somebody tell me, what is prophecy? This says, this gives us a definition that the testimony of Jesus Christ is the spirit of prophecy. What is prophecy? Prophecy is telling something that's going to happen. And brethren, as you study the Word of God, you need to understand that there are some things you can clearly say are going to happen. Because when the Word of God says, in the last days, perilous times shall come, and then it enumerates those things, when you see those things, you can prophesy, we're in our last days. When you see someone that is willfully walking in disobedience to the Word of God, you can prophesy and say to them, you're headed for major trouble in your life. When you see people that do not care about the Word of God, you have a responsibility to warn them about what's going to happen unless they repent. That's what John the Baptist, that's what every preacher in the New Testament did. They said, repent. They talked to people. Listen, brethren, if you love people, if you love the brethren, you cannot let people walk contrary to God's word and keep your mouth shut. If you love people and care about people, you have to warn them Jesus is on his throne and Jesus is going to judge every one of us. Jesus is judging us according to our works. And when our works are evil, we can be shut out of the kingdom. We can be cast into outer darkness where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. We can suffer a hell while we live on this earth. And the spirit of prophecy is something that very few people of God have. Tell me, why do we not like to ever talk to people about what they're doing wrong? Why do we not want to warn people about what Jesus is going to do in their lives? Why do we find great joy in telling them about our Savior, but we don't want to tell them about our King and our Judge? I like to preach about our Savior. I do. And it's true. He is our Savior. He has saved us from our sins. That's the most beautiful message there is in the Word of God, is that Jesus accomplished what He came to do. He's our Savior. But the rest of the story, the revelation, is that Jesus is more than just our Savior. He's our King and He's our Judge. He's on His throne today, ruling and reigning as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The prophecy, the testimony of Jesus Christ is the spirit of prophecy. To feel and to know what Ezekiel did, when God told Ezekiel, "I've made you a watchman," and God has made every one of you a watchman. And when you see people walking contrary to God's word, and you don't talk to them about what's wrong in their life, you don't have the testimony of Jesus Christ. In fact, you are a traitor. You're a traitor to Jesus Christ when you don't warn people. You don't love God and you don't love people like you ought to if you see people walking contrary to God's word and you don't warn them about what's going to happen in their lives. Is it really going to happen? Is it really going to happen? If you don't believe it, then you don't believe the Bible, because it is going to happen. Go with me in closing to two verses of Scripture. First, look at Matthew 16, verses 27 and 28. Jesus, now this is while He was still on the earth. This is before He was crucified. The Word of God says in Matthew 16, verse 27, "For the Son of Man," now who's speaking here? Jesus is, and it's while He was in the flesh here on this earth. He's already come the first time. He's born of the Virgin of Mary, and He's living His life here on this earth. And He says then, "For the Son of Man shall come." Is He talking about a future coming of Jesus? And brethren, He's not talking about the final coming if you'll look at God's Word. He says, "The Son of Man shall come in the glory of His Father with His angels, and then He shall reward every man according to his works." What's He going to say to those whose works are good? "Come to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Come to the marriage. Enter, well done. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord." What's He going to say to those that have not been serving Him? He's going to say, "Depart from me, ye cursed." He's going to say, "Cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness." After He says He's going to judge, "He shall reward every man according to his works." He says, "Verily I say unto you, there be some standing here." Now, this gives a time reference on what Jesus was talking about. He says, "There be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in His kingdom." Amen. Brethren, Jesus came. There were some of those people that died, but there were some of them that were still alive when Jesus came in and established His kingdom and became the judge and the king of His kingdom. Now go with me to one other scripture in closing, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I want to begin with verse 9. I want you to see, first of all, that we need to examine ourselves and be sure that we're trying to follow God, because I have to give account of my life. And you have to give account of your life. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, beginning with verse 9. "Wherefore we labor." Is that works? Laboring works? That's works. "Wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of Him. For we..." Now, who wrote this letter to the saint, to the church at Corinth? Who wrote the letter to the church? The Apostle Paul. Now, brethren, the Apostle Paul had to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. You and I have to stand before the judgment seat of Christ to receive that we do in our bodies and in our lives. "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ." And this is not at the end of the time world. The king's already on his throne. The judge is already on his throne. "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or evil." Let me tell you something. We do not get into eternal heaven based on our good works. And we do not, as God's people, we do not enter the kingdom of heaven unless we do good works. And then in verse 11, he says, "Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord..." What do we do? What's the next phrase? Knowing the terror of the Lord, knowing that this Lord judges his people according to the word. Knowing the terror of the Lord, what do? We persuade men. Well, what is persuading men? That's the testimony of Jesus Christ. That's the spirit of prophecy. That's trying to work with people to try to convert them from the error of their way. Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth a sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. May God help us to understand that we better have the testimony of Jesus Christ. We better have the spirit of prophecy. We better love people enough that we warn them and we persuade them to follow Christ is my prayer for Christ's sake.
You have been listening to the Trumpet of Truth radio broadcast. We hope you have enjoyed and were blessed by the first message. Now, on to the second message for today, the pastor of the Waycross Primitive Baptist Church, Brother Bill Mullis.
We'd like to ask you to please turn in your Bibles to the book of Psalms. I'd like to read from Psalm 32, verses 8 and 9. Psalm 32 and verse 8, the Word of God says, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. Be not as the horse or as the mule, which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held in with bit and bridle, lest they come near unto thee. One of the greatest blessings that we have as God's people is that God does instruct us and God does teach us the way in which we should walk every day of our lives, not just basically through the teachings of His Word, but I believe that God instructs us and teaches us and guides us by His Holy Spirit. Of course, one of the main ways that God instructs us is in His Word. The Word of God gives us a tremendous amount of instruction and guidance. God teaches us in His Word, and if we listen to the teachings of God's Word, if we follow God's Word, and we follow God's way, then we show that we have understanding and that we have wisdom. Sometimes God's people rebel against God's Word, and He says here they're like a mule and like a horse that have to have a bridle and a bit put on them, and that does control the horse, the bridle and the bit, cause a great amount of pain and a lot of suffering sometimes when a horse is not doing right. You can get them under control with a bridle and a bit. But God's people, if they will just listen to God, God won't have to use that kind of severity in their lives. If we don't listen to God's Word, if we don't follow God's Word and God's way, if we don't listen to what He says, if we have no understanding, then He has other methods of causing us to bow to the will of God. So it is that we as the people of God, we need to pray that God will give us understanding and give us wisdom so that we will follow what He says and just listen to His Word so He doesn't have to use the rod, He doesn't have to use the bridle and the bit in order to get us under control. God can get us under control. There's not a man in this world that God can't just speak the word and you're going to be tamed by God. And so it is that we need to pray, God, help me that I will listen to your word. I will hear instruction, that I will be wise and not be a fool, not be as the horse or as the mule. You ever heard of being stubborn as a mule? This is probably one of the places that it comes from, that the people of God are sometimes stubborn and refuse to follow God's word. And so He says they're like a mule and like a horse. They have to have a bridle and a bit in order to control them. I want us to see tonight as we study the Word of God that God's Word is instruction to the people of God. And we need to pray that God will help us to hear that instruction, because there are great, great blessings to our lives. It honors and glorifies God for us to obey His Word, for us to hear and understand and believe and obey God's Word. That honors God. But also it's blessing in our lives when we will listen to the Word of God and be instructed by God. You know, even in children in a family, sometimes you'll find that some children want to do whatever the parents tell them to do. There are some children that They desire to please the parents, and they will listen to what the parents tell them to do, and they will do pretty much exactly what the parents tell them to do. And then there are other children that are rather rebellious, and they have to be tamed. They have to be straightened out. They have to be brought down before they'll really listen. Children of God are like that. Whom the Lord loveth, Hebrews 12 tells us that whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. So if God loves us and we don't listen to his instruction and we don't follow his word and do what he says, then he will put on that bit and bridle and we will be brought under subjection to the power of God. Turning your Bibles to Psalm 119. I want us to understand that we need to get understanding from God, and God has given us in his word. It's a wonderful blessing to have the word of God. Psalm 119, listen please to verse 130. Psalm 119, of course, the whole 119th Psalm concentrates on the importance of the laws, the statutes, and the commandments of God, and the wise man will listen to those instructions. Psalm 119, verse 130. The word of God says, the entrance of thy words giveth light, it giveth understanding unto the simple. What does the word of God give? It gives light, it also gives understanding. Now, you remember back where we just left in Psalm 32, the word of God says that those horses and mules that do not do what's right, they have no understanding. And if we're not following God's word, we have no understanding. So we need to pray, God, help me to study your word. Now go to Proverbs very quickly, to Proverbs chapter 2. I want us to look at just in Proverbs 2, 3, and 4. There are a number of times the word of God talks about all through the book of Proverbs. Solomon tells us about the importance of us having understanding, the importance of us being wise. Of all the people that we read about in the word of God, there was one man that when God asked what he would like to have, do you remember what he asked for? He asked for understanding. And so it is that Solomon, who was the one that asked for understanding, Solomon now, as he writes the book of Proverbs, he is telling us how important understanding is. Now, Solomon lost that understanding. Solomon went away from what God instructed him to do. And so Solomon experienced a lot of hell because of his rebellious attitude to the word of God. He had understanding, but he lost it. Did you know we can lose understanding? We can lose knowledge. We can lose wisdom. We can have it, and then it be gone. So it is in Proverbs chapter 2, beginning with verse 1, the word of God tells us how we need to seek after understanding. We need to seek after knowledge. We need to seek after discretion. We need to seek after wisdom. We need to understand that God is the source of all of that. And God has given us his word so that we can have understanding and wisdom and knowledge and discretion. In Proverbs chapter 2, beginning with verse 1, the word of God says, my son, if thou will receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom, and out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. God is the only one who can give you all of these things. Knowledge and wisdom and understanding and discretion, they all come from God. And he says here, if you'll cry to God for that, God has promised he'll give it to you. Even when you're trying to read and study God's word, you need, before you ever open the word of God, the first thing you need to do is say, Lord, please help me to understand the truth of your word. Next chapter, Proverbs chapter 3, beginning with verse 3. Proverbs chapter 3, beginning with verse 3, the word of God says, let not mercy and truth forsake thee, bind them about thy neck, write them upon the table of thine heart, so that thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Do you need to hold on to mercy and truth in order to get understanding? That's what the word of God is telling us here. And then in verse 5, The Word of God says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. We as the people of God, we can either have our own understanding and follow our own understanding and follow our own wisdom. There, the Word of God makes it very clear there's a difference in the wisdom that comes from God and the wisdom that comes from men. There's a difference in the understanding that comes from God and the understanding that you can have in your own heart and mind. And if we lean to our own understanding, we'll always go in the wrong direction. But if we seek God's guidance and we cry unto Him and we seek wisdom and understanding, God will give it to us and it will be good for our lives. In Proverbs chapter 4, beginning with verse 5, the Word of God says, get wisdom, get understanding. Now, brethren, do you automatically have wisdom and understanding just because you're born of the Spirit of God? No, you don't. We as the people of God, once we're born of the Spirit of God, we might begin to realize we need knowledge and understanding and wisdom, but that doesn't automatically give it to us. After we've been born again, we are then instructed that we're to seek knowledge and wisdom and understanding. We're to cry for knowledge, wisdom, and understanding, and we're to seek it in His Word. Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Verse 6, Proverbs 4 and verse 6 says, forsake her not. Once you get it, can you forsake it? Once you have knowledge, once you have wisdom, once you have understanding, can you lose it? Solomon is the greatest example in the Word of God of a man who was given understanding and he lost it. He forsook it. He turned his back on the truth of God's Word. He was like a horse or a mule. It's very rebellious and hard-headed. Verse 7 says, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. We need wisdom. We need understanding. As we read the Word of God and we begin to read about various people in the Word of God, there are some people that stand out as individuals besides Solomon. And Solomon, I think, is one that really forsook the Lord. But he quickly forgot God whenever he was lifted up and blessed by God. Same thing happens to most of God's children, is that as we begin to have understanding and as we begin to get knowledge, we become like teenagers. Likewise, spiritually, just as in a natural way, sometimes teenagers get where they think they know it all and they have more understanding than anybody. They have more understanding. They have more wisdom than their parents. Just like a natural teenager can do that. Likewise, spiritually, when a person begins to grow and have understanding and have wisdom and knowledge, and then before long, they lose that understanding because they get full of pride. Pride will drive wisdom right out of your mind and heart and soul. You'll lose wisdom and you'll lose understanding and you'll lose knowledge and discretion whenever pride begins to enter in. That's what's happened to our nation. We become very proud. What's happened to the knowledge and wisdom and understanding in our nation? It's gone because pride drives it away. Go with me, please, in your Bibles to Daniel chapter 4. In the book of Daniel, we read about Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar was the king of Babylon, and Nebuchadnezzar had a lot of wisdom and a lot of understanding. He got it from God. Nebuchadnezzar was a great king of Babylon as long as he listened to God. You remember back there in Psalm 32:8, God says, I will instruct thee, I will teach thee the way that thou shalt go. And brethren, Nebuchadnezzar was a man that God instructed and God taught him. And he led in a mighty and marvelous way. But then he became full of pride and he lost his wisdom and knowledge and understanding. I want to caution everybody here, you better be careful about pride. You remember as Proverbs says, pride goeth before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. You'll lose all the wisdom and knowledge and understanding you've ever had as pride begins to creep into your heart. Nebuchadnezzar was lifted up. He was the most powerful man on the face of the earth at this time. He was the king of the greatest kingdom at this time. And it was God that put him there. And in Daniel chapter 4, beginning in verse 30, Nebuchadnezzar began to forget God who had lifted him up and given him that position. In Daniel 4 and verse 30, the word of God says, the king spake, that's Nebuchadnezzar, spake and said, is not this great Babylon that I have built, you hear the pride right there, is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty? He was looking at the kingdom he had, and he says, look what I have, look what I built. And sometimes, brethren, even when you're in the kingdom of heaven, and God's blessed you to be in the kingdom of heaven, just like Nebuchadnezzar was king of this kingdom, and God sometimes blesses us to be kings and priests and sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus our Lord. And sometimes when we're in the kingdom of heaven, we get just as lifted up as Nebuchadnezzar did here. And you know what happens when we are so proud about how spiritual we are and how we're in the kingdom of heaven, and we look at others that aren't in the kingdom? We're on our way out. King Nebuchadnezzar was proud after Nebuchadnezzar had been bragging on himself. Verse 31 says, while the word was in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, the kingdom is departed from thee. Brethren, there are several times in the word of God where men have been told, the kingdom, thy kingdom, is departed from thee. I want you to know the people of God today, though they may be in the kingdom of heaven from time to time, the kingdom of heaven can be taken out of their lives and out of their hearts, and they can lose the kingdom and they can be cast out of the kingdom of heaven. And so it is that Nebuchadnezzar was cast out. His kingdom was taken from him. Thy kingdom is departed from thee. They shall drive thee. I want you to see he's going to be like an animal now. You remember back there in Psalm 32, 8 and 9, if you listen to instruction and you listen to God's guidance and you listen to God's teachings, then you experience the blessings of God. But if you rebel against that, then you're like a horse and a mule. Nebuchadnezzar is going to be going from the king of Babylon down to being like a horse and a mule. I want you to hear what happens to him. Verse 32 says, they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. They shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and seven times, I think that's 7 years, seven times shall pass over thee until thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men and giveth it to whomsoever he will. The same hour was the thing fulfilled upon Nebuchadnezzar, and he was driven from men and did eat grass as oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven till his hairs were grown like eagle's feathers and his nails like bird's claws. Do you hear what a deplorable condition? He went from a high position of authority and power and majesty all the way down to living like an animal. This literally happened, brethren. This isn't a fairy tale. This isn't figurative language. This is what happened to Nebuchadnezzar. He was living like an animal. I've seen many people, and you've known people in your lives, that you've seen them go from spiritual maturity. You've seen them back up and back down and go away until finally they become like a mule and a horse. And they had to be broken, and God has ways of breaking them. And God brings us down just like he did Nebuchadnezzar. And verse 34 says then, at the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes unto heaven, and what's the next word there? Mine understanding returned unto me. Brethren, Nebuchadnezzar had understanding earlier. It was his understanding and wisdom and knowledge and discretion that came from God that got him to the position he was in. And then he lost it. And then after a period of time, after living like an animal, then he says, my understanding returned unto me, and I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing, and he, that is God, doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? What's the difference in Nebuchadnezzar in verses 34 and 35 and in verse 30? Well, in verse 30, he thought he was the God of his life. He was the God of his life, little G-O-D. He was the one that was the center of his life. He was the one that was seeking his own glory And now God brings him down. God puts on him a bit and a bridle, and God breaks him, and he ceases to be that wild stallion and becomes a very gentle pony that any child could ride. You remember how Jesus told his apostles, except ye be converted and become as little children, you will not enter into the kingdom of heaven. You know what Nebuchadnezzar became right here? He became like a little child. Look at the last verse of this fourth chapter of Daniel. Daniel 4, verse 37. He says, now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth and his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride, he is able to abase. Is God able to bring me down? Is he able to bring the United States of America to her knees? Brethren, God today, tonight, God can bring America to her knees that we're crying like little babies all over this land. Don't doubt the power of God. It shows how foolish we are when we think that we can turn our backs on God. It shows how we have lost wisdom and understanding and knowledge when we think we don't need His instruction anymore. We don't need to follow God's Word. We don't need to follow God's way. We're smarter than that. Oh, how foolish we become and how foolish we are when we think we know better than God. Go with me to the New Testament very quickly, and I want you to hear the wording. The Apostle Paul speaks basically the same words that the psalmist did in Psalm 32, verses 8 and 9. Look in Ephesians chapter 4 at how the Word of God warns us, don't walk as fools. Don't lose your understanding. If you follow the world, you know what you're going to lose? You're going to lose understanding and wisdom from God. And you're going to have different kind of wisdom and understanding that will lead to destruction and pain and sorrow in your life. In Ephesians chapter 4, listen please to verse 17. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 17, the Word of God says, this I say therefore and testify in the Lord that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind. Now what's the main statement there? Don't walk like other Gentiles walk. How do most Gentiles walk? How do most people walk? They walk in the what? In the vanity of their mind. Have you ever walked in the vanity of your own mind? Have you ever leaned to your own understanding? Have you ever forsaken God's way for your own way? And every time you do, it will always lead to God putting a bit and a bridle on you. And He'll break you. He'll bring you down because He loves you too much to let you go astray from His way and His Word. If you walk as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, verse 18 says, having the what? Having the understanding darkened. Well, now, how in the world can a person have understanding and lose it? Well, the main reason is when you walk in the vanity of your mind, when you lean to your own understanding, you're going to lose understanding that comes from God. Having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. Now come down to Ephesians 5 verse 17. The Word of God says, wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Don't be a fool. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Go with me in closing to Matthew chapter 7. Starting with verse 24, Jesus says, therefore whosoever heareth these sayings of mine. Now, what does God give us? According to Psalm 32, verse 8, I will instruct thee, I will teach thee. Does He instruct us and teach us in His Word? So Jesus says, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. Did you know your house, listen carefully, your house, your personal life, your family cannot be destroyed if you're a hearer and a doer of God's Word. It will not fall. You will have, sometimes you will have the rains and the winds and the storms come on your house, but your house will not fall if you've been following God's Word. And then he says in verse 26, and everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand, and the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat upon that house and it fell, and great was the fall of it. No matter what your position is right now, you can lose that position of fellowship with God. You can't lose your eternal salvation, but you can lose the joy of your salvation, and your house can fall. May God help us to listen to His instruction and to be a doer of God's Word, not a hearer only, is my prayer for Christ's sake.
You have been listening to the Trumpet of Truth, a broadcast ministry of the Waycross Primitive Baptist Church. Find us on your radio Sunday mornings at 9 and Sunday evenings at 5 on 91.9 FM, WASW, American Family Radio. Lord willing, join us next Sunday. And until then, let's blow the trumpet in Zion. We now rejoin American Family Radio.